my dears, and welcome to Conversations with Cleo. This is a special show, and it will be featured at the top and the brand new beginning of our home at Blog Talk Radio. But I could not think of a better way and a better treat than to follow through on something we talked about at the end of last year. But before we get into that, I am giggly to welcome and invite a dear friend, Mr. G. Allen Hendricks, who will be running for Boynton Beach Commissioner. I was going to say Boynton Beach Community Commissioner. But, you know, he may change the title. They may have to. That will be for District 3. So just again, to make it very formal, Mr. G. Allen Hendricks, Boynton Beach Commissioner, District 3. Welcome, darling.
Oh, thank you, my love.
There will be all manner of inadvertent outbreaks of laughter throughout this interview. But now, some of you who are grimacing and raising eyebrows at me and saying, what the hell, Miss Cleo? You say you call them politicians. So now you know politicians? Look here. You all know that I talked about this at the end of last year, and I talked about my personal conflict with someone who I have a great deal of respect for, who I consider my brother from a different mother, and bless his mother's heart, she don't know nothing about it. He's always been an activist. That's one of the ways that I met him, and so I don't put activist and politician and politrician into the same hat. But in accepting and moving through him letting me know, and we've talked about this for a couple of years. This wasn't a brand new idea that just blew up in the middle of the night for him. And I said some very harsh words to him about 2 years ago, and he reminded me of them, and I thought, wow, you sure I said that? And, you know, personally, I blamed it on menopause. But here's the deal. Long story shorter, if we don't find people who are willing to step up to the plate and bring something new and different to the dinner party, then we don't have any right to bitch and complain. And what I know of Mr. Hendricks is the following, that he is an earnest man. He is straightforward without a doubt. That doesn't always make him popular. And for me, I like that. You're a man, because we're looking for community leaders. You can call them politicians, but perhaps it is time for the title to change. At least, if not the title itself, the heart that comes with the job. And I genuinely believe that, given what I know of Allen and his heart that he has given to his community prior to running for office and to communities around him, he is that brethren that is going to be there, Johnny on the spot, to put his actions where his mouth runs. You understand me? And again, that's a commodity nowadays. So now that I've blown a whole bunch of smoke up his ass, and not up yours though, seriously, this is the way I feel about this gentleman. But today he's not going to get a free pass, because I have some very real questions that you all and I have talked about in the past, and the building of community. So I'm going to turn it over to him and let him right off the bat talk to us about what his vision is for Boynton Beach and what his platform is. So, Allen, the mic is yours, baby. Talk to me.
Oh, Cleo. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, how could we have ever foreseen sitting here today 6-7 years ago?
And I didn't see that coming. Oh, you see that underhanded punchline? Rastafari. Go on.
I met Cleo, I think it was on meetup.com.
Yes.
I was looking for activists in the Broward community to stand and fight with us for equal rights. And that was my first meeting of Cleo. And it's been a grand journey ever since. Who would have ever thought that we'd be coming, you know, that we're here today? But this is the journey. I am running for office. I did meet lots of resistance from some of the ones that I loved the most. My family, from Cleo, from my spouse, and from friends. And I understand it. I get it. I look at this in a different way. I look at this as an extension of my activism. I got involved with politics and activism through Equality Florida. I just had enough, and I decided I would do something. And that's been a grand journey. It introduced me to politics, introduced me to activism, and what can be done when a small group of people come together and have a lot of heart. My profession is a landscape architect, which is a sorely misunderstood profession. Most people understand urban planner a little bit better for what I'm looking at for Boynton Beach and specifically for my district. I got involved in my community just because that's really my passion. My passion is this community needs a lot of love and care. We are poised to be a great community if we can get our hands around what our vision is, what we want to happen in this community. We've got lots of developable land. And as a professional in the land development field, I see what we can be. It's not theory. It is proven. It's proven that if you take actions X and Y, Z will result. We're making progress in that venture, but we need people who know what they're doing sitting on the dais in Boynton Beach. We've got neighborhoods that are in need of organization. They're good neighborhoods, but without organization, they'll if you're not constantly building for the better, you're moving in the wrong direction. Some of my activism work will probably come in handy there, because we know how to organize people. It can be fun. The end result is, if you build community, you improve community, and you improve safety in your neighborhoods. We have programs that are ready to go, and I was working on programs for this prior to making the decision to run for office. So I see my decision to run for office as an extension, a bigger megaphone, a little more authority to work with the people that I've already been working with, and affecting that change. We can have a beautiful city. We can have a vibrant city, a walking city. We've got the grid, the infrastructure to do it. Someone needs to step up for this portion of our town and affect the change that needs to happen. And I'm actually excited about that. Running for office is a little bit terrifying, a little bit exciting.
Extreme living.
It opens up, the idealist in me said, hey, let's go do this. And I personally have to continue to bring myself to that higher plane and realize that it's not about me. It's about what I can bring to the table. And it's a community service. We've gotten away from that community service when we talk about politicians.
Yes.
which is sad, which is why people were unhappy with me when I decided that I was going to run.
We were talking before we went on the air, and I explained, Alan pointed out that I was just one of many who were like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I think that because the politicians now that we are disappointed with and angry with, we lump everybody now into that box, and that's not right. That is out of balance, because then who will we look to bring the change? And I just want to go back to something that you said that I think is amazing. I think it should be one of your taglines. because it resonates to me. It is an extension of your activism. And that resonates with me differently. I've not ever heard that from someone running for a political office. Because if that's the case, then that means you bring a whole new dance. The music is going to change. Because you are talking about a community service. That was what it used to be, you know. Politicians were serving the masses, the communities. You know, and then somewhere it got twisted and they began to serve themselves, which has left such a bad taste in our mouth. But I love that, an extension of your activism. And I know his activism. I have seen him work. So I'm kind of excited for you. I'm excited for Boytan. And I love Boytan, you understand? At Boytan Beach, that when I first moved out of Broward up to Palm Beach County, my first stop was Boytan Beach, and it was a cool little spot, and I'm very excited. I've seen some of those changes that I know that Alan was part of before he came to this decision. And now, here's the other thing that I think you might look past, and you might be able to share with some of the other people who love you the way that I love you. But as a community member who is active, sometimes you don't have to take the grief for the final outcome. Somebody else's name gets to be responsible, so somebody else can point a finger at you. I think what you're doing is very brave, because now you're saying, okay, I want to be that one you point the finger at. I want to be that one you hold responsible. I will take up that charge in my community. That's a lot, because a lot of people won't do that. They want armchair quarterback. So, mad ups, and to any of you that love Alan like I love Alan, and I know you're going to tune in because you say, oh, Cleo's interviewing him. Oh, this will be interesting. So I send out love to each and every one of you that are listening to us right now. But just take a look at that observation. And for me, Alan now presents himself in my visual as a example. So I'm inspired now. I'm inspired on a whole nother level. I'm not running for political office. No one worry. I wouldn't withstand the vetting. Boy, I could go somewhere with that line, but we're gonna come back to the process. Now, you use the term urban developer. Now, in some of your material that I have had, and for those of you who want to go on. See the actual website for Alan. It is www.alanhendricks.com. All right. Beautiful website. All of the basic information is there for you. Also, email some details on what his vision is. But we talk about urban development. Explain a little bit more what you mean about that. What is your vision in your district there? What will that look like?
What that looks like in Southeast Boynton Beach, the Federal Corridor, the Woolbright Corridor, Boynton Beach Corridor, we have lots of developable land. This is not necessarily unique to Boynton Beach. We have that all in Palm Beach County along Federal. This land is going to get developed. How we develop it, it's a sensitivity that probably people that don't study this might not have, but we have a say-so in how this gets developed. The way you don't want to develop is just rows of residential with no mixed use mixed in there, because people need to be able to walk to the dry cleaners, to their favorite little restaurant. It puts activity on the streets. It puts eyes on the streets. That brings safety to the streets and just creates the walkable communities of the hottest marketing trend in the nation for a reason. People like to be able to walk, ride their bike in safety. To services, it brings out the, we'll get back to the local business support. But this is the way, and we have a nearly blank palette. So from our planning and zoning and our the way we develop, we need to have a clear vision of what we want that to look like. Otherwise, we're going to end up with whatever gets developed. We can do better than that. Mm-hmm. But it takes somebody with an understanding of how this happens, how the infrastructure works, to guide us to design the city that we want. We have the infrastructure is there. It's a grid pattern. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. We've seen great examples of this in West Palm Beach, where we had to go back and redevelop our downtown. We've seen good examples in Del Rey, where we've gone back and redeveloped a downtown. We've seen good examples in Boca Raton. All of these cities made decisions on how the infrastructure works in their city and why. So services, more tall towers is not necessarily the answer. We can spread things around with wise decisions. So that is, in short, what we're looking for. I bought in my house in Boynton 10 years ago knowing that I was going to be able to walk downtown and have a nice little, you know, be able to art galleries, entertainment, food and beverage, and we haven't been able to affect this yet, but we will. It's our turn, you know. The recession hurt us, but we're pulling out of the recession, and we have this developable land that we need to develop, you know, wisely, and that'll take some vision.
Okay, and so then for the small business owner, the 1-5 man shop, I want them to not hear this the wrong way. So when you're talking about bringing businesses in, are you going to work to make sure that there is a balance between the larger employers, you know, big box stores or perhaps hotel chains or whatever the case may be, and making sure that the small businessman doesn't get pushed out? How will you all achieve that?
This what this looks like on the southeast portion, or the I should just say the east portion of Boynton, is a different animal than the big box.
Mm-hmm.
We have big box on Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been successful on Congress because we've focused our attention on Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to focus our attention on the east side of our city. Local business, we have local businesses there.
Mm-hmm.
We can do more to encourage them to organize themselves and to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can, I've been talking to local businesses just yesterday, and they have their concerns. I think the city can do a program to where we remind people that they should support local businesses. Instead of picking up your dry cleaning in Boca where you work, pick up your dry cleaning in Boynton Beach
where you live. Yes.
And it's just a reminder. It's a reminder. This is, I always think of this analogy. I have to be reminded to bring my reusable bags to Publix. It's a new learned behavior.
Right.
We just need to remind people that we have these services here, and then support our services when we get there. You're right about, we were talking earlier about road closures, and being sensitive to communicating with small businesses, and realize that we're dealing with small businesses that can't take a hit. You know, to block one of our major arteries to any local business in the height of season is unconscionable.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be done. You need to put it off. I don't care.
Exactly. You know, because you understand it. I think that reasonable people understand that scheduling happens and glitches happen. But given that we live in a tourist state, at least this portion of the state, and accessibility is right up there with everything else, you know. So a road closure at the wrong time of the year, you know, may be a sound decision in a closed door meeting, you know, with a couple of Diet Cokes on the table, but to somebody else, you know, it's the breaking point whether they stay or stay open. So now, given that kind of thing, what kind of communication do you think you would foster to create that kind of comfort with the community?
Well, it kind of goes across the small business arena, if you will, or
mm-hmm.
small business group, but it also goes across the residential group,
mm-hmm.
The neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
that are more kind of suburban in nature. And that is that we as governors, if you will, of our city can offer, if we invest just a little bit of money and time and effort into helping these people organize themselves and support themselves and create events that will promote more business and more awareness and some excitement in what's going on,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that is money well invested. We'll get that back out of our neighborhoods by improving our neighborhoods. We'll get it back by building businesses and seeing that, you know, Boynton Beach, East Boynton Beach is business friendly, small business friendly, that we appreciate and support what small businesses, you know, I believe they need to organize themselves better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I went to an event the other night, and it was an annual event. It's one small business in her shopping center
mm-hmm.
organizes an event. There's music. All the doors are open.
Mm-hmm.
People come, and they have a good time, and they're reminded that these businesses are here.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a little bit of excitement. That's just one small business
mm-hmm.
doing one event. We should be doing those all the time.
I agree.
All the time. So there's responsibility on the small business side, but I believe we can help, and not only supporting, but help organize and work with small businesses
mm-hmm.
to create these kind of events that keep their doors open and bring awareness to what's going on down there. People want to go and have fun. They want to be entertained. They want to, you know, it's there. But we need to take action, kind of like community, not community involvement or activism, but it's we have a lot of work to do
mm-hmm.
as far as communicating our events, promoting our events, promoting our city.
Also, you're telling me Boynton Beach isn't on Twitter?
Boynton Beach is on Facebook. They're doing better on Facebook. The CRA is doing better on Facebook. You know.
No, and I'm not being facetious. You all know I'm not being facetious. I mean, Alan and I, like I said, we go back a number of years, and so both of us, we used to stand in the kitchen and cuss about people who texted because we hadn't started texting yet. And you know, what you all know, once I become founded in something nice, I wrap it like a big iron fist. And certainly I've been humbled at the vibration of Twitter. While I don't always advocate some of the rudeness and the unpleasantries that happen on there, I certainly think it's an interesting way to communicate. And I say all of that to say that because I am very much about, I'm not running for political office, but inspired by Alan as well, is that this new commitment that I have for community and small business. And there are a number of groups in South Florida that are on Twitter, different things. Their whole promotion, it is really a building vibration, is all about supporting community events throughout various areas. Girls with Mouths is another group, and they have this enormous website that they must painstakingly work to keep updated, because it's every friggin' event going on in Palm Beach County. And they're very effective. Now, I'm not sure if they sell advertising or what, how they make their money, but it is definitely a vibration that continues. So, not that I'm trying to tell you how to do your future job. I'm just saying that one thing I think and Obama has done this most effectively, you know, Bill Clinton played a musical instrument, Obama tweets. You know, you got the Pope is tweeting and so is the Queen. So, I mean, really? Boynton Beach needs to get on board and start tweeting. Because it's a cyber community. It's a different vibration. We have to get with the 21st century. You know, you're not a spring chicken, neither am I. I fought getting hit with the 21st century. Now I'm there and I get it. Everything has its foibles. But, you know, I think that in my opinion, and I'm giving Alan a bit of a hard time here because I'm trying to do this for my listeners, because I want to make sure that small business has a place in communities, because it's great to bring in the ones who will buy, you know, 4 acres and build, you know, 15 stories of condos. And that's wonderful. That brings people in. I love the idea of safety with eyes on the street. I love, do you all not love walkable communities? I've never heard that before. Is that a buzzword out there now?
It's been around for a while.
Shame on me. Uh-oh, I thought I was hip. Walkable communities. Well, but see, you know, and it, who knew? I love that. So small business creates walkable communities. What type of buildings do you have? Do you have a sense in mind as to what your ceiling height is? Your building envelope in a place like Boyton, is it going to be 15 stories? Do you want to keep it at a minimum of 12? Is there something already on the books like that? I mean, what's the deal?
There's something already on the books like that for the two big parcels that I'm thinking of right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is we've got two 15-story
mm-hmm.
towers,
mm-hmm.
and we have two 12-story towers.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I feel that from there, what you do is you step down
mm-hmm.
to where it blends into the residential community. So, to answer your question more specifically, there is an approved density for those two big parcels. Like I said, we get to say what our, you know, with it's going to take effort
right.
to look at this and say, what do we want our community to look like? And in the theory and in the practice, what you want to do is be able to blend from that height
mm-hmm.
down into
mm-hmm.
your residential community. So you step down from 12 to 8 to 5 to 3 to 2. So it doesn't, you don't have a 12-story building next to a 1-story building. And it helps with all kinds of things, traffic patterns and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just building your density. Walkable communities. I think of some of this as, oh, it's not rocket science. It's kind of a no-brainer. But I forget that I went to school for 4 years.
See, exactly. And you don't even give yourself, because I didn't even. I mean, I'm talking about all these things. I walk here. I walk there. I ride my bike. I never put the two words together, but I love it. That's gonna be one of my news. Walkable communities. I'm gonna start describing places. Delicious walkable community. Because I think that people trying to be more healthy for the environment, more healthy for self, that it's delicious that you have. What turned Lake Worth into more of a walkable community for me was that they put a Publix, which is a supermarket here, you all, for those of you who are not from South Florida, who are listening today. It's a supermarket chain. And we did not have one immediately walkable in downtown Lake Worth. And that made it, that was a big plus for a lot of us who live right here. And we're happy about it, you know, brought a few jobs, this, that, and the other. I have to say, though, that I have loved the development that I have seen happening in Boynton Beach. Since I moved up and have moved on to Lake Worth, there are many new areas that went up. What is the area right there on Woolbright, new building with their luxury apartments,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
And what is that? Because there's mixed use there as well, right?
I get so excited when I talk about this development. Las Ventanas, which was built, it's a rental community, yes. And it's got a good bit of density.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-minute walk to the ocean. It is right across the street from a brand new Publix and a brand new Tijuana. You know, I don't want to go to each one of the businesses, but from Sunshine,
oh, by all means, go ahead.
Sunshine Square, where there, you know, there's a
Boynton Beach Diner is delicious.
Boynton Beach Diner, which we love since we've discovered that. You know, all your services, you know, H&R Block, you can get your hair cut, you can get your dry cleaning, you can get your food, you can get your groceries, and that...
Crown Liquors over there.
Crown Liquors, love them.
Love them.
So what you're seeing now at night, I, as somebody who has an eye
mm-hmm.
for these things
mm-hmm.
and pays attention to such things, is 9:30 at night, young people buying organic produce at our new Publix and walking their dogs and going to Sweetwater and supporting the local businesses there. And that is part of how, you know, we have done, we don't give ourselves near enough credit. We have done great things and will continue to do great things in the eastern side of Boynton Beach. Some of that is a little out of view because it's in the neighborhood of the Northeast. Some of that is visible on the federal corridor and the Boynton Beach and Woolbright corridors, but it's unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a hard time just developing our Ocean Avenue district, but we're starting to see coffee shop come into the Marina district. We're going to build out some more in the Marina district, keep an open space there, but also have some more kind of park services mm-hmm. right there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep that space open, which I'm excited about, for events. It's on the Intercoastal Waterway. It's beautiful. So we've done great things, and I get excited because we've now built in some more density down at Seabourn Cove, which is a LEED certified, the largest LEED certified multi-unit property, I believe, in the nation.
Wow.
I think we missed an opportunity there to build in some of that mixed use to where the people across the street in Sterling Village can walk across and get their dry cleaning or get a sandwich or and if we don't get our hands around how we want to develop that federal corridor, we're going to end up with just rows and rows of high density low rise residential, which will be missing the opportunity to build in some of that walkable community where you put services and retail as well, and that in turn continues to support small businesses because the big box doesn't work that way, you know.
And for those of you, Alan referenced Congress. He's not talking about the Brunswick government. Congress is a corridor here in that runs through many of the small hamlets. What I call them, because I really they're small enough that I don't call them cities. But Boynton Beach has a wonderful mall and another corridor of many strip malls, big box stores, et cetera, et cetera. That is probably, I don't know what, about a 7-8 minute drive from the beach. Mm-hmm. So they have all of that set up on there, and it's a very popular stretch, and it has, you know, there's condos and things. But here is a little more smaller, it's a little more intimate, District 3. And I gotta tell you, I love the beach, but the improvements that I've seen, that I love the beach before the improvements happened, and I love the beach a gazillion times now, more. And quite honestly, I was very much applauding Boynton Beach when they did all of these wonderful things, because the beach at Lake Worth looked like a fucking hood. I wouldn't even go and do my voodoo down at Lake Worth Beach because it looks such a fucking hot mess. I would drive to Boynton to go and do my voodoo because it was such a lovely beach. You know, I was like, I'm serious. You know, you can't do good voodoo on a bad beach. and they were very systematic about the way that they did it. It never disturbed me. Of course, it's all about me. It never disturbed anything. So I don't know what it was like to live in Boynton Beach while all of that was going on, because I came just a couple of times while the construction. But I was so appreciative as an individual who enjoys Boynton Beach and its vibration. I was so appreciative to, and I gave the credit to the city, I gave it to local government, because it seemed like somebody thought it out. It seemed like somebody actually cared. It seemed like somebody said, we have a nice beach, I think we can make it nicer. I think we can make it more inviting, safer, more accommodating for our community. And this is the one right there on right off of Ocean that used to be where Oprah had her old house right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely beach, and it's a city beach, and so you have to pay during the daytime for parking. I don't know if they still leave it open like they used to back in the day. They may not. But it's a fabulous, it's in a wonderful little neighborhood. It is a mixed-use kind of vibration. I don't know what the people on that side feel about that, because the houses over on that side are a little bit bigger.
Just a little bit.
I'm not saying anything bad. You know, it's you know, but look here, Oprah used to so let me just qualify. But, you know, here's the deal. Nobody ran me out. I was always treated very lovely in Boyton. I've not ever had a foul word spoken to me by a police officer. You all know I can't say that about Lake Worth. But I definitely can say that for Boyton. No matter what time I moved through Boyton, I was always very comfortable traveling through Boyton. And have seen different places and met many people who lived in the community. So I think it's a wonderful community. I'm excited for you all. But, you know, one of our local papers here is called the Palm Beach Post. And there have been some stories over the last 3-4 months. And I would be remiss, and I'd get called on the carpet by my listeners if I didn't address this, that don't give you all the best press, you know, PR. Now, mind you, Lake Worth, my listeners know I call it Bohemia, Calcutta, because, you know, you're going to find somebody cut up in a trash bag behind their yard 6 blocks from here, you know, and you go another 2 blocks and you're on the golf course. And it looks very different, you know. So what are you all going to be doing? What are you going to do? Because we're talking about an area where walkable community, the eyes do bring safety, but how will the small businesses and the infrastructure of the peace officers, you know, as opposed to police officers, the peace officers, they maintain the peace. How will that work? Because I think that that's part of the hiccup in many communities, because you have a very densely Haitian population in Boyton Beach, and I don't know if my listeners are aware of that. I wasn't aware of it, and I lived in Broward. I had no idea how large the Haitian community was in Palm Beach, and even how large it was in Boyton Beach. And there have been problems, and not certainly, I don't know what the level of problem has been in your district with gang activity, etc., etc., but do you have any thoughts you want to share, you know, with some of your folks in Boyton? Because I love my Boyton listeners. Smooches, dears.
Yes, we do. Wow, I could answer that in a whole bunch of different ways. One is, we have an image problem. The reality is that our crime rate is second best. Boca Raton is best.
Wow, really? See, that's the kind of thing we don't know.
No, we don't know. We continue to feed the Palm Beach Post
all kinds of fodder. Just anything.
And I'm not saying it's all an image problem, but I'm saying that it is, you know, the reality doesn't always match up what the image is,
gotcha,
what gets out there.
I appreciate that.
One of our initiatives is the cleanup of Seacrest Boulevard, which is mm-hmm. a county road.
Mm-hmm.
It needs attention
mm-hmm.
because it looks unkempt. Now, the neighborhoods, if you get off of that street,
are lovely.
Mm-hmm. But that street gives the appearance that, oh, I'm not, it's visual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't look, if things don't look kempt, you don't think you're in a safe place. You just get this feeling, which is not the reality. Building community builds safety.
Right.
You know,
right.
Knowing your neighbors, you don't have to get all up in your neighbor's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once a year, have a party with a purpose. Have a street party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I know my neighbor's phone number and I see something going on in his house or his dog's loose or something, I can call him.
Right.
If
right.
somebody's breaking in his window, I'll call him first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then I'll call 911.
Right.
So the more people are kind of looking out for each other, because we as a society, we get in our car from work, we drive home, we get in our driveway or our garage, and we go in the house and we stay in the house. We don't have front porches like we used to, where people kind of, you know, I don't want to. Building community builds safety. That's just the bottom line. Neighbors watching out for each other.
But will that, how will you then, the other part of that question is that, how will you then bring the peace officer part of the Boyton? Now, you all are Boyton or Palm Beach Sheriff. Which one are you all?
We're Boyton. We have our own police department.
You have your own police department. That has an interesting reputation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've never had a bad experience with him, so I don't know, only what I've read. And I will concur with Alan. The Palm Beach Post does seem to have a hard-on for if they fart the wrong direction, they report it. But needless to say, I just wanted to validate some of that. No, on any given occasion, you can open the paper. Oh, look, what's going on in Boyton today? Because there's going to be inevitably something about Boyton in the paper. You all are busy and growing and changing. And so, absolutely. Rather, you're not barring. You're not barring. So something's ticking in there. But how will you bring your police department into the community? Reason I address that is because we right now have a much bigger conversation going on in the country. However, I think it's important for people to know where their local officials feel and stand, because you've had many people on various levels speaking out. We are clear that when you get into diverse communities, sometimes there is, again, a perception about police officers and the police department, just like we were talking about perceptions about politicians. How will you, in this area that you want to see grow, create it so that the police are seen as working with, not controlling situation? You understand the difference of where I'm coming from?
I do, okay. Indeed. And I've actually given that some thought.
We didn't set this up, I guarantee you.
I know, because we didn't talk about this. But I have an opinion.
I love
Imagine
it.
That. I think that is the internal infrastructure of the police force. I think they're doing a good job, but I think they're working with, when I say infrastructure, it's kind of their programmatics, how their belief system is on how things should be done.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they're doing a good job. I believe what they're missing, and I would get some pushback from this, I'm sure, but I believe it is important for our police force to get on the ground involved in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's, I'm not suggesting anything right off the top of my head. I think you and I might have had a conversation about police cops on horseback.
Right.
You know, cops on bikes. If it is, I don't believe it's effective. I just said that, you know, part of the solution to any crime in any city is got to come from the residents.
Mm-hmm.
Residents keeping an eyes on things, neighborhood watches, neighborhood organizations, being in communication with the police department, which we're doing in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Forest Park neighborhood has met with a lot of city officials, including the police department and
mm-hmm.
code enforcement, and said,
mm-hmm.
here's our problems, here's our issues,
mm-hmm.
help us out with that. And that line of communication just starts things going. I believe that we can do a better job of having the police, instead of just responding, and
mm-hmm.
patrolling, is have more of that community involvement, which just multiplies the effort. When people know that they can trust their police force, it's just getting to know them, and that they care,
mm-hmm.
that it's not a top-down thing. You people need to be managed.
Exactly. It's more cohesive. Well, if you've got walkable communities, even the concept, I mean, I hear that, and I think there should be walkable cops. You understand? Let's go back to a beat. I don't know that there was anything so wrong with that concept, because I think that those officers that are out on the horses and walking that beat, they have an opportunity for a whole different kind of connection with an individual, you know? And Alan and I were talking, and quickly, a sheriff is our peace officer in Lake Worth, and it's a young man who, you know, lots of tattoos, whatever the case may have been, and he was out walking with his wife and a newborn baby, probably on their way to the laundromat, look like they have some laundry. And we have a horse unit here in Lake Worth. Under no other circumstances would he have brought that baby over to say hello to a cop that was sitting in a squad car. No way in the world. No reason to make a connection, even one of eye contact. He might have been averting his eyes, or he could have been caught in his eyes. For whatever reason, we won't go into those. But in that moment, when he saw that horse, he brought that baby out of its cage, brought it over, and showed it to the horse. And at that moment, the officer had an opportunity to say hello to him, and he had an opportunity to say hello to the officer, and this conversation happened. You know? And it gives me goosebumps, because that's where it needs to get that human again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that human anymore. You know? And that makes a difference. I started to prattle, but walkable community should be walkable cops then. You know? A cop car makes my ass cheeks get tight, and I don't do nothing wrong. You know, but it's just because there's an image, just like there is with politicians, there's an image with officers. And the other reason I bring that up is because what I do love about Boyertown, it's a very mixed place. So there's a little bit of everything running through Boyertown. Old, young, middle of the road, gay, straight, black, white, purple, pink, me not care, gray hairs, snowbirds, you know, parrot heads, it doesn't matter. Boyton is very accepting, and I do love that about Boyton. I'm looking forward to this area growing, and I think that you all know that my mantra for the year is, what will you build? I think that clearly you've talked about what you plan to build for this place. You say you moved in there 10 years ago because you knew you were going to be able to live in this community that would afford you the kinds of things that entertain you, the opportunity to know your neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. And now, so what time frame are you giving yourself? Now I'm going to throw you off and ask you a question that I never even... What time frame are you... When do you expect, and this is what we don't ask politicians, and so I'm going to ask you because you're not a politician, you're an activist who is extending himself. What are you genuinely hoping to tangibly accomplish? And it's a 3-year term or a 2-year term?
3.
In 3 years. That's a fair amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
to get something. What are you hoping to accomplish? One, yeah, I'm sure there's a list of things, but one thing that you would feel very personally satisfied by your extension of your activism, if you could accomplish in your... And this is the ideal,
right?
You know, so I believe to speak what you create.
Right, right. Well, I think we need, at the planning and zoning level, I think we need to... I don't think we need another study.
Mm-hmm.
We've done enough studies. We know what to do. We need to sit down and say, what is our vision for... This, you know, this is what I do for a profession, so this is what I instinctively want to do, is draw out what we want, you know, what are the principles we want
mm-hmm.
to incorporate into our city design
mm-hmm.
and make those clear to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So when the developers come in and say, listen, you know, then you start to work with the developers and say, you know, a trade-off here, we'll give you some more density here if you build us a park here, or if you, you know, incorporate... mixed use into your development. You know, there's ways that the city can get what it wants, but it has to know what it wants before we go any further, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've really hashed that out.
Okay.
I think we need to do that. And I think we need to do it as a city and city staff, not another study. Our neighborhoods to the north and south of Woolbright, I would be delighted if we created neighborhood groups that are doing something like, and in support of those neighborhood groups, that are doing something like the Forest Park Neighborhood Association, which is a very loose-fitting association.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good people that are concerned about their neighborhoods, adding support to them and building them.
Mm-hmm.
Because next will probably be a neighborhood watch, or next will be an event where you create the space and the... to actually for neighbors to get to know neighbors, whether it's an event downtown,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an event in the neighborhood. Once you get to know your neighbors, it builds community. It builds pride in the community. If there's things that are wrong in the community, the government side of it is not necessarily going to be able to do all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the residents
to take it on. It's a full package, absolutely. I agree with you.
But it's our, I believe it's our job to support, lend all the support we can. And the return on investment is enormous. You know, if we spend a few thousand dollars here and a few thousand dollars here to support these groups, and we can bring our property values up and by 10%. The numbers are just nuts. I've actually kind of crunched them a little bit. So the development will come.
Mm-hmm.
In my profession, people are hiring,
mm-hmm.
which is
mm-hmm.
land development profession. People are hiring.
Which means that things are growing, I guess.
Things, we've got, you know, people doing due diligence on one of our large parcels down there. So it will happen, but we need to be ready. We don't have an architectural review board. It's just, this is what grown-up cities do, and we're a grown-up city. We're the third largest city in the largest county this side of the Mississippi. These are things we need to get done, and if you don't know that it's broken, you can't fix it. So we need to know, we need to be have somebody in there that knows what's broken. And gives direction to the city manager to fix it.
So what I hear you saying is that, one, you want to hash out that plan. Because right now you guys don't have a plan that identifies what's broken, so you then can repair it. And then I also am hearing that those streets, because I'm trying to pin you down on something that you... I know you want to make all of this happen. I get that. But I would love to see those neighborhoods too and those kind of groups. But I understand that at this point in the ballgame, you're trying to hit all of the things that you're committed to doing. But I was just wondering if there was one like little pet project that you wanted to see flourish while you're in office or now, because you, who knows, you might get in there and say, oh, I'm pretty good at this, and everybody might love you, and you might stay for another term. But that's all I was trying to get to. But I think you gave that to me, I think, with those particular streets that you're talking about. And I did want to touch on that, because here's the thing where, you know, and I don't know, sometimes small governments, big government, do things as backwards. The corridor that Alan was talking about, Seacrest, and I've driven it often, and I do understand what he's saying, but it's interesting because when you do get into the neighborhoods off of it, they're beautiful. But as a main corridor, it is. It's unkempt. It's not bad. It's not rogatag, but it is on its way. Here in Lake Worth, they fixed up 10th Avenue. They fixed up 6th. And you come off of them and you go into the neighborhoods and some of them are a hot mess. They need attention. Now, they're not, you know, ghetto afraid to turn a corner hot mess, but you can tell they're unkempt. They feel like some people have not taken care of. Slowly but surely, it's changing here in Lake Worth as well, but I definitely believe that Boynton Beach is well ahead of us, at least on the side of the beach. On the side that's supposed to be where you do draw in the tourism, so I did wanna hit on that because I think it's perfect. I do love that the neighborhoods are beautiful off of it, and if you as the city can work with your community, then absolutely the whole thing can be gorgeous. You know, I'm continually inspired by that gentleman from Ohio. Gloucester, Ohio, who just decided he was going to start painting
everything,
you know, and he said, you know, I don't have no time for the politicians, I don't have no time for the grants, I don't have, just get out there and do it, just do it, and you know, and again, but here's the deal, what if he decided that 73, next time I'm going to run for office, because guess what, I know how to just get it done. There again would be that different person. We don't. That would be again an extension of that gentleman's activism, and that's the. I want to bring everything back full circle. We've taken up plenty of Alan's time. I want to bring it back full circle to where Alan resonated in my head was an extension of your activism, and I think that we can take that from him and we can apply that to all of us. You know, so I'm going to start to, again, look at things that I've always, you know, labeled myself an activist, and I am going to see everything that I do from this point forward as an extension of my personal activism. And that's, and all of you can do that. Get involved with your communities. We're not just talking about Boynton today. I talk to you all the time, no matter where you are, that we all have the capacity to bring it back to community, because I genuinely believe that is where the restructuring is going to occur at the beginning of this new book. And we have got to understand that it is about the greater of the whole, and the time frame and the book that was all about the me, and I don't want to get involved, and I'm going to stay over here because that looks like that could get messy. We all need to be prepared to get our hands dirty. We all need to be prepared to get messy. And we need to be prepared to be accountable for our own personal results. So at this moment, I will make my official endorsement for District 3. I'm putting all my energy, all my time, all my love behind G. Allen Hendricks for Boynton Beach City Commissioner, District 3. So for all of my Boynton Beach listeners out there, and I don't know who you are, but I know you all are there, I'm going to turn the mic over one last time to my very, very dear friend and your candidate for District 3, and let him leave with a closing note to those of you out there who live in his wonderful city.
Wow. Here's an experience I just had, and I'd like to share with your listeners. You never know how far the ripples go from your good deeds. I had something the other day. I posted something on Facebook, mm-hmm. free swimming classes. Mm-hmm. I forgot that I posted it. A fellow activist in the northeast part of my city picked up on that, and she's signing up young men and women mm-hmm. to go to free swimming classes. You could save a life.
Right, exactly.
You could, you know, from that teaching, someone else can teach someone else. And it was nothing. It was a pebble thrown into the water. But you never know how far that goes. So it doesn't have to be a chore. We can do service with joy in our heart. We reap the benefit spiritually. And you don't know how far you can touch people's lives with just the simplest of actions. Government cannot fix our problems. Government won't fix our neighborhoods. Residents will fix our neighborhoods. And there's a lot of joy that comes from picking up the dirt and the trash along Seacrest Avenue. We accomplish things, and no, we don't need another committee, and we don't need another study. We need people who know what they're doing to get in there, and I need support, and once I'm elected, I'll need support, because government can't do it. We can lead, we can administrate, but the real results come from building community and getting things done. So I'm still excited about the potential that we have, and it's my passion. Who would not want to be able to design on such a grand scale and affect lives? This is design on a societal scale.
Right.
We can improve the lives of our residents. It's just mind blowing. So here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I love it. Look here, man. You came out of this thing with I don't know how many slogans. I love all of them. Here we go. I'm gonna have to do a show to talk about it. Here we go. I love it. I so thank you for coming on the show, Star. You are brilliant. And I thank you all for tuning in as usual. You know, we're going through a few renovation changes here at Conversations with Cleo. And we're going to stay in touch and make sure you guys know what's going on. And in the interim, I appreciate all of your patience. Have a delicious day. Peace.